सहनौ भुनक्तु तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां पालयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करम्। शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाषकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तः पुनः पुनः। हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। So verse 47 is a very known verse to us. We have seen before in chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita about following one's own dharma. We saw in chapter 3 verse 35 that a person who follows his own dharma, he is better off than following another dharma which is not his own dharma. So verse 35, we'll go to verse 47, then I will make a reference to the other one. Shreyam Svadharmo Vigunaha.
Shreyam Svadharmo Vigunaha.
Paradharmas Anushtitat.
Paradharmat Anushtitat.
Swabhavaniyatam Karma.
Swabhavaniyatam Karma.
Kurvan apnoti kilbisham.
Kurvan apnoti kilbisham.
Shreyan svadharmo vigunaha. Paradharmas anushtitat. Swabhava vinayat sabbu swabhava niyatam karma. Kurvan apnoti kilbisham.
Shreyan svadharmo vigunaha. Paradharmat svanushtitat svabhavaniyatam karma kurvan apnoti kilbisham.
So shreyan means shreyas. You will get shreyas. Shreyan means is better. Swadharma, if you follow your own swadharma. What is swadharma? Is your own dharma. See, the dharma was based on the four varnashramas. We saw the brahmanas, kshatriyas, the vaishyas and shudras. So the varnashram was done with a particular thing in mind, that one is suited for certain things. So if a brahmana is supposed to be doing, you know, all the good things, studying shastram, etc., he's better off because he's actually endowed with those kind of qualities. If he suddenly decides to go to a military war and say, I want to go and fight a Bofors, take a Bofors and shoot somebody, it will be a big challenge for him, because from a mentality, from a person who's in a Brahmana family with all sort of, you know, regular work he's doing, and one day he decides to go and join the army, he may be suited. But his mental condition, his body, his karma may not be suitable for him. He would not be a star in that profession. Whereas he could be a star, he could get more recognition in his own profession as a brahmana. Because they are governed by the gunas. The dharmas are actually, your own dharma is governed by gunas. You got a sattvika guna, the brahmanas is a more sattvika guna. They are more satsikas. They are less rajasika and less tamasika. Whereas kshatriya is more rajasika and more tamasika and then less satsika. Because we saw in the previous classes before about the gunas, how they are classified and how a person fits into any of these things. So shreyan svadharmo vigunaha. Vigunaha means, guna means merit, And vigunaha means devoid of merit. Means you would not be successful or get meritorious if you follow other dharma apart from your own dharma. So Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha means Paradharma Anushtita. So he says there'll be no merit if you follow Paradharma. Paradharma means other dharmas which are not related to your dharma. Dharma means your dharma. Paradharma is that dharma which is not your dharma. Right? The duty of another person. So if you decide to do a duty of some other person, say you want to be, you cannot be a father and mother. People say that, see, a mother is a mother, a father is a father. Each of them got certain duties and they will, you cannot perform both the duties. You can perform to some extent, but you can never substitute something. Correct? So what it says here that you have to understand that certain people are endowed with qualities. And they got natural abilities to do certain things. So the person should do those kind of things. Just because somebody is there, you know, you see, you want to be like him. You cannot become like that. See, in Tamil, we say, like, you know, Pune, yeah, Pune. You know, Pune is a cat. If it decides, if it's still a tiger, and if it wants to be like a tiger, it cannot become a tiger because it goes into the kitchen and asks, you know, the owner, give me 4 stripes. So the owner decides to, he puts it, you know, in a heat and stripes it. He gets a stripe, but then the cat gets killed because it can't withstand the temperature, it can't withstand the heat, the body, the burns. Correct. So what we say is, Pune path, Pune, you can't do this, right? Just because you see a tiger, you cannot get stripes like that. Because a tiger is a tiger. It has got its abilities. It comes with natural stripes. It is endowed with that. It has got some use for that. Whereas a cat has got its own qualities. It is a domesticated animal. Likewise, the duty of one person cannot be substituted to the other person. So, Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha means Viguna means devoid of merit. When does it happen? When you follow Paradharma Anushtita. Anushtita means like you follow. Or you follow Paradharma. Then the benefit doesn't come to you directly. It doesn't come in that manner as you do your own dharma. Correct? Because Swabhava Niyatam Karma. Because by Swabhava you are all like that. Our Swabhava is like this. You know, for example, you know your capabilities. Even though you want to be with somebody, you cannot become a businessman. See, for example, not everybody is a businessman. Everybody cannot do business. Even though somebody wants to do business also, you cannot be because it has to be in your blood, it has to be, you should have the capability somehow, somewhere. Even though you want to be. Otherwise, everybody will be businessman only here. Nobody will be worker here. We have got workers here. We got clerk here. We got peons here. We got people who are, all sort of things are here. Why? Because certain people are endowed with certain qualities. And they are better at doing that than other things. So they do that. Correct. So, Swabhava Niyatam means by nature of your Swabhavam, Niyatam, according to one's own nature. Niyata means according to one's own nature. So Niyata means according to Swabhava is nature. So one's nature is to do puja, one's nature is very quiet, study shastram, then the person is actually ideal for doing this kind of job. If a person is, you know, always money-minded, chasing things, just say, you know, artha kama, then the person is actually suited for the Kshatriya type of things, like those kind of things, or you know, Vaishya type of things. Because he can chase things, he wants to go, he's got energy to do that. Right? So karma, so Swabhava Niyatam Karma. Karma means action which you do. So kurvan apnoti kilbisham. Kurvan means by doing that, by doing. Kurvan means by doing. Apnoti means you attain. Apnoti means you attain. Kilbisham means there is no defect. You will not be, there will be no blemish on you. Blemish here it says is merit. So when you say merit, blemish means there will be some like what you call, you will not be able to be a star. You will not be able to perform to the level of what people you think you can be. One person can say, for example, if you ask an army man, a Kshatriya person, to come to study Vedam Shastram, he may not be interested because he is not inclined to do that. He may not be. Because certain people are like that. They are endowed with qualities. So when you say Shudraha means what? Shudraha according to Vedanta Shastra means they are ignorant people. They are not untouchable people. They are people who are ignorant about the self. They are like this because they never have the ability or the aptitude to come forward and learn. Because they are tamasic in nature. Their gunas are very tamasic. They like to relax. They like to take easy. Not stretch too much. See, studying Shastram requires a lot of brain power. It requires you to think all the time. 24/7 you have to think. Keep on reading, come to the class, listen to the teacher, listen to the recording, make notes, go through that. It's a lot of work for them. Why waste? I'm happy. I'll take some sleep, I'll relax in the TV, go out, go for a walk, something like this. They are very easygoing people, not interested. That's why for such people, they will not be able to do this. Whereas if they come and do this to Shastra, they will be blemishes because they will not be able to perform to the level of ability what they want to do. Because they are still not ready yet for that. So one has to progress gradually from tamasic attitude to rajasic attitude to sattvic attitude. You cannot go from, you know, a sattvic to a tamasic. Extremely difficult. If you are a sattvic person, you will be highly be sattvic and more rajasic and less tamasic. Very little tamasic. You can sleep with maybe 5-6 hours of sleep in a day. 7 hours, 6 hours is enough for 5 to 6 hours. A tamasic person will sleep 12 hours a day. He will sleep from 9:30, wake up till next day 12 o'clock. He'll be in bed till 12 o'clock. He may not even wake up. He will take bath at 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5:30, 6 o'clock. Sometimes he'll not take bath at all. He'll go out directly like this. So all these things you'll see. I'm not blaming anybody, but you'll see this in our society. You'll see that nowadays kids are, they wake up really late. They wake up at 10:30, 11, 11:30, 12. Sometimes they're on 1:30, 2 also they'll wake up. 4:30 they'll have dinner, lunch they'll have. 11:30 they'll go out. All these things are very, very different compared to how we grew up. Because the whole things, everything is changing. When we grew up in our environment, things were different. Right? We had no TV, we had nothing else. So we are focused on your studies, then an outside play and come back by 6:37. After the 7 o'clock, you cannot be staying out forever. Even though even a male child also. We used to be home by 7:00, 7:30 to do the homework. Nowadays, you can't do anything about it. You don't see them at all. Right? It's not because things are changing. So, we have to understand that things change. So, what it tells you is that if you follow your own dharma, and if you are, it is better that you do that. And then that way you won't get any blemish or you won't get any problem because of that. Whereas if you do something else not suited to your swabhava, then there's always a possibility that you will fail in that objective. Always a possibility. Because there's always what you call a danger that you don't know where you're treading into, where you're entering into. So we saw in chapter 3, verse 35 also. If you got handy, you can look at it. Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha Paradharmastanushtita Swadharmi Nidanam Shreyaha Paradharmo Bayavaha. Right? So, same thing says here. You'll see my notes in chapter 3 in the Vedagyanam website, if you see, we talked about 2 years ago that this Swadharma which is there is bhaya, bhayavaha means full of fear. Because you don't know what will happen. Supposing, it's like example, Rumble, you are a migrant or to come to a place and you are a IT professional, you have got all IT skills. You come and look for a job here, you're not able to get a job here. Suddenly you decide, I want to go into engineering. You want to, because something is there, you just want to pick up something. Initially, what will happen is you will have this fear, right? You will have a fear of failure because you don't know how you're going to cope up. You'll have to first get trained, then only you can jump in there. So you'll have to develop the qualities for a bit of time. You cannot just take up because you like that job or there's nothing else. So what it says here, you're better off doing some other job, lower level job or connected to the job in the same area rather than taking up something which is totally different and then trying to excel in that. If you already have a flair for doing it, you should do it. For example, if you already done before and you have been doing some sort of, you know, job like that, it is okay to explore and develop. But if you're not never done at all, anything, and suddenly you are asked to do this or you want to don't do this because you won't do it, he says, Paradharma Bhayavah. So because by doing that, there's always a fear of failure. You'll always be entering their place with failure. Always. So he says that you better off stick to your duty, stick to what you're doing, and try to operate within your own limits, understand your limitations, understand your gunas, and svabhavam, what is your nature of svabhavam, what you are. In fact, he tries to tell you that you understand your gunas. You understand your what gunas you got, and what mind disposition you got, and then you do your duty according to that. If you are physically endowed, you can do that, you can do that. You look at everything, structure of your body, your mind, your eating habits, your style of your environment where you grew up, surrounding people who are there, everything you analyze and then you decide your dharma. If your dharma is in that environment which is there, you better do that. That's what it says. So it's not a very difficult verse to go through. Very simple. Is it clear, Natarajan, Arun? Then verse 48, he talks about why he says that all the karma which you do, they are defective. Defective means they always got some defect in that. No karma can be perfect. We all know that any karma cannot be perfect. We say that I am a perfect person. I do things correctly. But yet it brings you results which you don't want. Sometimes it just backfires. You will say that, my God, I did everything correctly, but still it has come back another way because there are other things which you don't even know. You have not even looked at it. So Krishna says here that by nature, all the karma which you do are defective. Sahajam karma kaunteya.
Sahajam karma kaunteya.
Sadosham api natyajet.
Sadosham api natyajet.
Sarvarambahi doshena.
Sarvarambahi doshena.
Dhumena grivavrataha.
Dhumenagne rivavrataha.
Sahajam karma kaunteya. Sadosham api natyajet sarvarambahi doshena lobena girivavrutaha.
Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api natyajet sarvarambahi doshena lobena girivavrutaha.
So sahaja means sarajam, natural. Sahajam karma means any karma which you do naturally. Sahajam karma. Kaunteya. Kaunteya means son of Kunti. A Kunti's son. any karma which you do, sahajam karma, it has got sadosham. It has got sadosham, means it has got dosham. It has got defects. Understand that, Arjuna, that any karma which you do naturally, swabhava, sahajam karma, sadosham api, it has got defects. But still, na tyajet, you must not let go of doing the karma. Even though the karma has got defects, you must never let go of doing the karma. Sometimes what we say, I think by doing the job, I won't get any benefit. I don't want to do that. It's going to. Sometimes you are forced to do job which you don't like because you have to do it. You cannot escape from it, you have to do it. So, na tyajet means you must not run away from doing that. Even though you may not like it, or even though you may not get the benefit what you want, it says na tyajet. Okay, one should not give up at any cost. So, if you are a brahmana, means you may have to get up in the morning, do sannyasam in the morning, you have to do all this. Problems are there, you know, 5 o'clock, 5:30, you have to wake up early in the morning, it will be very cold out there. You have to take bath in the morning, you don't want to do it, right? You want to be in the bed. Supposing it is winter early in the morning, who wants to get up at 6 o'clock, 5:30, and then, but still you have to get up because, you know, that is your karma, you have to do that. So you do that. But never forsake it unless physically you are impaired, you cannot do anything about it, it is okay. But one must not stop doing karma just because the karma itself has got defects in that. So, sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api. Api means even, api, even, api, even. Sadosham means there are dosham, means defects in the karma also. Because sarva arambahi doshena means right from the beginning, all these karmas are defective. All undertakings, sarva arambaha means all undertakings by nature are defective. Why? Because they belong to the three gunas. The three gunas are never perfect. They, how can you be sattvic all the time? See, you will be doing some activities which will be a mixture of three gunas. You might be sattvic, you might be rajasic, tamasic. You cannot say that I am only sattvic and I will only do this karma when I am sattvic. You cannot, because your mind is not made up like that. Your mind is a mishran of all these three qualities which are coming and going. Even when you are in class also, you can be tamasic, you can be sleepy. You can be rajasic, you can be watching, doing something on the computer, WhatsApp chanting will happen, something will happen, they are possible. And you are also sattvic. Your mind is listening. All the three things are possible, right? So, what it tells you is your karma will not be, will always be defectful because it is the nature of the karma itself. It is difficult for us to focus long, long time on one thing by being in a specific state of mind. So, that's why we always say that the mind cannot be dissolved. It can only be resolved. Resolved in what? Knowing these three things. Lot of the people who like all this, people who teach yoga shastram, right? They teach yoga shastram is a big topic where they teach you how to dissolve the mind. They want you, the mind should not be there at all. The mind should be, no thought should be there. They, what they do, they try to control it so that, you know, their mind, there's nothing there at all. But shastram says, our shastram says that it is not possible to do that. It is actually dangerous to completely knock yourself off, saying that I won't think about this, I won't think about this. Because thoughts are many and the mind cannot be controlled. It has to only be conditioned. And you have to resolve your thoughts in by bringing in those good thoughts and living with bad thoughts. If you say that I want to dissolve my thoughts, means you are actually forcibly trying to control the nature. Your nature is not to dissolve anything. Your nature is to resolve or, you know, merge with that. So thought management is a different aspect in Vedantic view. and the thought management different than the Yoga Shastra view. That's why when you go to the Yoga Shastra meditation, they ask you to focus, control, then you will ultimately know what not to do. You will be under pain. Whereas in Shastram, what we say, you don't need to do anything. You just be, you are, be yourself. We say, be yourself, right? But how to be yourself when you don't know even the self at all? How do you know? We'll say, be yourself. You go to the Veda class, like, you know, yoga class, they'll say, be yourself. So, be yourself means like, what will you be when you not don't know what is yourself at all? No, you'll say, no, be yourself. You just, who you are. But the question, who I am, I don't know. So, to explore that only, I'm studying Shastra. But that Shastram doesn't teach you that. That Shastram tells you that you just be, you are this. They just keep on telling you this. And ultimately, you believe that you are that. They tell you all those things which are not you really are. That's why you don't need to go anywhere. See, a person who is studying Vedanta Shastra, he is in contemplation because he doesn't need to do any meditation. Why do you want to torture yourself by going to all these things? When it comes to sulabhas, easily, when you are already in Shastra, already meditating. See, meditating is what? Meditating is actually focusing on an object or focusing on a topic which is of interest to you. When you are already doing it 24/7, accepting sleep, your already mind is, you know, karma yogi, you are karma yogi, you are studying Shastra. All the activities which you do also is in dharma. You have Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, Sudharma Buddhi. Everything, all the five buddhis are there with you. So where is the question of you digressing from something and doing something else? So just by being yourself, be yourself. The Shastra tells you that by yourself means you include this buddhis into your role and then you just be yourself. That way you are in conformity dharma and there is nothing else required to be done there. That's why we take on the technique. The technique of meditating is taken, but what we do is we actually focus on that our own teaching method and we dwell upon the teaching in that meditation. Even though we may do japa, etc., siddha of some time, it is not actually on outside objects. The outside object is focused initially, then it is brought back to the teaching, then eventually over the period of teaching the teacher, the knower also gets slowly resolved. You forget even that you are there because the whole teaching, everything is so sitting inside that you get involved in that. That is called contemplation or meditation in the Vedantic view. So here it says here that every karma sarva arambha hi doshena. Every karma which you do has got doshas because these are governed by the gunas. The gunas itself are changing every day. Because you don't know how you will be morning, evening will not be because even in the evening also you can be have three types. Morning you will also have three types. So when you do a karma during that time, how can you be sure that it will always give you good results or bad results? You don't know. So he says, this is the nature of prakriti and why do you have to worry about it? So sarva arambha hi doshena dhumena giri avritaha. Dhumena means smoke and giri means mountain. Avritaha is covered. So just like, you know, if you look at the mountain, right, it is covered with smoke. And
Dhumena, is it not Dhumena Agni? Agni is fire, right? As the fire is covered by the smoke.
Yeah, because Dhumena means, from Dhumaha means like when the smoke is coming up.
Yeah, Dhumena Agni Avrata, fire covered with smoke.
So wherever, see, for example, the Agni is covered by the Dhumaha, because see, you only see the smoke, you never see the Agni. But what do you see? You know that, okay, there is smoke with this fire. But this shrouded, it's completely covered. Avrata means completely covered, correct? So just like that, this whole thing, actions, karmas, they are already covered by all these defects. You don't know anything about it. But it in chapter 2, verse 45. So let's chapter 2, verse 45. He says here, Traigunya Vishaya Veda is Traigunyo Bhavajuna Nirvando Nityavastvasto Yogakshema Atmavan. So he says, this Sattva, Rajasic and Tamasic Gunas are there everywhere, and this is what is trying to make you do the karmas. So you don't get attached to this karma, this gunas. Trai gunaya vishaya veda. These three gunas. Nistrai gunyo bhavarjuna. Understand that, don't get attached to these gunas. Do not get attached to these gunas. Just let them go. Don't be saying that I am sattvic, I am rajasic, I am tamasic. Let them be as it is, as they are. Let the thoughts come and go. Let the thoughts come and go. You understand that they are part of Prakriti. Do not try to fight them, because you have, the moment you start fighting them, then you are directly falling into the trap. Nirdvandvaha nityavastaha. Correct. Understand that that which is permanent, you analyze. What we talked to today morning, the discussion on, you know, the Brahman consciousness, that which is permanent, impermanent. You dwell upon those things. Don't dwell upon the gunas and why they are doing, why I am karma. Just don't worry about those things. You understand that what they are. Understand that this is permanent. Nirdvandaha nityavastaha nir yoga kshemam atmama. So that which is yoga kshemam, means that which is going to protect you. You focus on that. Atmama. By atma is what? Consciousness. Atma here says consciousness. Understand that that is the consciousness, or that is the atma which you focus on by dwelling upon those aspects of the, what we talked about, the 21 different types. You understand those things rather than worry about the karma, what I'm doing, what I'm not doing, you know, the good things, sattvic, rajasic. Don't get carried by all these things, because ultimately this atma, or what you talk about, it has got no any of these things. It is not attached to any of these things. So why do you worry about these things? Take it for granted that these gunas are there, because the gunas are also varied. They also come with their own defects. Prakriti is made of, you know, modified Brahman, just got some defects. You are also a person of imperfect only. You are not a perfect person. So accept that. And then you understand the perfection which is required from the person. For example, you understand the perfection from the Atma point of view, the consciousness point of view. And then you negate the rest of it. So, Sarva Arambahi Doshena Dhumena Giri Avrataha. So, what is the defect? Defect is that which produces a Punyam or Papam. See, defect here means not negative things. A defect is either a Punyam or a Papam will be produced. It's a defect because if you get punyam, you'll have to come back to this world to do karma. If you do papam also, you have to come back to the world to do karma. And this karma will always bring you punyam and papam, whether you like it or not. You do karma, it will give you drishtaphalam and adrishtaphalam. It will give you papam, which is right away there, or some other, you know, janma you'll have to go through that. So this is what is binding you in any way. The only way to get this free is by knowledge, by knowing that the Atma or the Karta is not, the Atma is not a Karta. The body, everything is a Karta, and they are the Prakriti, that's how they operate. So one has to be very clear, like for example about, you know, when you do study of the Shastra, one has to be very clear about these concepts, that every karma will have its own defects. And one has to get the view that this karma which is done is part of the body. The body is made of three gunas. The gunas are made of prakriti. The prakriti is also impermanent because it will come and go depending upon, you know, the waxing and waning of the moon. When you are not there, the prakriti is not there for you. Okay. When you are in deep sleep state, this prakriti is not there. If it is there, you will not be sleeping at all. You will always be awake. So they all say that this is all imperfect things. Nothing is perfect. So don't get attached to this. Try to rise above by knowing the perfect things, thereby dissolving the imperfect things. So that's the meaning of this verse. See, just like, you know, when you say dumena agni giri avrutaha, he says that just like for every karma there's a defect, punya and papam, likewise for every fire there's a smoke. You cannot say that I will have a fire, I will not want smoke. It is possible, in maybe there are some, I think I came across one camphor or karpuram. Something which doesn't even flame. It has got no smell. It doesn't bring any anything. It is chemically possible to modify those things. But the moment, you know, you have, you know, anything wet stick or milk or anything which has got, it starts flaming. Even though the camphor which you are doing may not be flammable, it doesn't bring a flame. But there are other things which will actually make it smoke. So he says, just like the fire has got a capacity to bring smoke, which is, people don't like it. If you do a ritual, when you are sitting in front of the Agni Kundam and offering fire, the smoke will come directly in front of you. You don't like it because you can choke. You'll be starting crying. All things will happen. You'll sweat because it is a defect. And a defect, you don't like it. But it is part of that. You cannot separate it. Can you say that, you know, no, I will not do ritual because I don't like this fire? He said before, na tyajet, the previous verse. Even though you don't like the fire, also the Agni Kundam, what you do, you have to sit and do it. You cry, you take a towel, you wipe yourself. You can say that I'll feel this way, but then the Purohit will fan right from you. But he doesn't want the fire, so he will actually fan in front of you. So the fire, it will actually come in front of you only. We have seen it many times. You will be sitting on the opposite side. You will be doing here. The smoke will come. You will say, I am going to blow this. You will take a big stick and blow. But then all those things will actually come in immediately in front of you. You can't walk away because you are sitting as a karta doing the job. You cannot get up. So you have to bear the torture. So na tyajet, there means says, this karma has got defect. The ritual which you are doing has got defect of the smoke. The smoke is going to bother you. You cannot inhale it. But still you cannot forsake the duty. You cannot say that I won't do the karma because the smoke there. You will do it. So all he's trying to tell you is that understand this karma has got defects. And the defects are by nature unavoidable. Therefore do the karma. Don't run away from that just because it is defectful or it is not going to be a benefit to you. You should do the karma. That's what it says. Because in chapter 3 also we saw that even for a kshana also, you cannot live without doing karma. There is not a single person in this loka who cannot say that I am not doing karma. He has to do karma only. There is no choice. If you come to bhuloka, karma. This is karma bhumi. This is the only place where I can do karma. In Indraloka, Devaloka, there is no karma there. Because there is nothing there for me. There is only punyam, there is no papam, nothing is there. Whereas here is the only place where one can actually, use the intellect to refine. In Indraloka and other lokas, there is no refinement extra required. There is no choice. Here, you got a choice, you can refine. You make a mistake, you correct. You make a mistake, you correct. That's why Bhuloka is supposed to be one of the most important. The karma bhumi is why he said, because by karma only you become pure. If you don't do karma at all, how will you become pure? You will not know what is good, what is bad. So you learn the hard way by doing karma. you understand the pros and cons of doing the karma, you get the benefit, you learn from it. Don't do it next time. And that's how the person develops antakarana shuddhi slowly, slowly. So the karma yoga topic is talked about here in a very high level. It talks about saying that this karma is per duties. Do your duty as per the prescribed varnashramas dharma, shrayan sadharmo, we saw before, right? Natya jet. So the proper attitude. So there are lots of articles. See, there are counter arguments, like the Bhashyam is more detailed and basically compares our view versus the Buddhist view. The Buddhist view, what they say is, when you say that the karma is actually defective, why should the person do karma? Is a question we Buddhists asked. Then Acharya Shankaracharya says, if you are saying that if you can't do karma, what are you going to do? He says, okay, you are saying that, you know, the Shruti says that you should do karma and the karma has got defects. So why should a person do karma? Is the question of the Buddhist or the Vaisheshika view, other party view. This is called a Kudarka Vada. The people who don't accept the argument of the Shruti, they're called Kudarka Vada. Kudarka means like they always have a point of view which is contradictory to what you believe. They will try to poke their nose and say, I don't like all these things, these are useless. Why should you do karma? Shruti says, you do karma, you get defects. This person says, oh, you already know that the karma is going to bring you defects. Why should you do karma at all? Then the Acharya says, if you don't do karma, what are you going to do? Do you know that? Can you remain idle? You'll do something, right? Then you accept the argument, saying, okay, yeah, I understand it, I accept the argument. Then next he says that you're saying that the Atma doesn't do any karma. How do you say that? Because according to their Buddhist philosophy, they only realize everything which is existence. They see everything physical. If you see, what do you call, that's why they don't have any idol worship. If you look at them, they do not have any worship of the idol because it doesn't exist for them. They only see physical things. If I see a person, they will accept that person as real and they will analyze the person as his characteristics, his attributes. And then they will say that, okay, it has got these five different types of, you know, their jnana khandas are there. They've got different five levels of analysis which they do. And they will ultimately arrive at saying, for example, this is what it is. So for them, everything is out of existence of something which is already there. Our Shastram says that this existence came out of where it came out of. It came out of where? They say that it came out of, you know, something. But the something, what is something? They are not able to articulate what is something. For them, they say there was something which was there. It came out and then this is what we see. This is what is the realistic view of the world. That's why they call Shunya Vadina. Shunya Vadina means these people do not have anything called Atman. According to them, what they say is that when you think, let's say I am thinking Bhagavad Gita now, this verse. Next verse also I am thinking. In between the two verses, there is no thought, there is no you as a thought. Is it possible that you are not existing between the two thoughts? They say that these two thoughts are different. And there is always a gap between the two thoughts. But there is really no gap. How can this be a gap? If there is a gap, then you would not be there. You would not be there. How would you know that there is a gap, first of all? If you are not there, how will you know there's a gap there? They can't explain this theory. That's why Shankaracharya was able to promote Advaitam better. And Buddhism got, you know, not very popular. See, Buddhism was very popular before. Then Shankaracharya came to the most popular thing because there was nobody to challenge them. But they lost prominence because they were not able to articulate things very clearly and they were all fighting against each other. Propounding, somebody will say something, they will oppose another person. Nobody was actually trying to argue or, you know, put a better case together. Adi Shankara came. He said, okay, look, you guys are all fighting. Let me ask you one question. In between two thoughts, do you exist or not? They said, no, I don't exist. She asked the question, how do you say that you don't exist when you know that, how do you say that you don't exist? When you said that you, there are two thoughts. Because if you are there only, you know there are next thought and previous thought. Then they agreed that, look, I agree with your point that there cannot be shunya. Shunya is possible only when you are dead. There's no thought at all there. When thought manifestation is there, then there has to be something between two thoughts. And that person is you, as a knower. You know your previous thought, your previous verse, next verse. You also know. You're thinking about it. How can you say that I'm not there? So that was the theory. That's why Buddhism was not very popular, and you know, Advaitam became very popular because of this. Other things are there, of course. So this karma is actually basically
Shankar, in Jainism, that is also different from Buddhism, no?
They are flavors, same. Buddhism and Jainism, they're all same flavor.
Okay.
See, all the other which are there. See, Buddhism is the closest one you can find to Advaita. Where they failed was, they were not able to articulate this Atma, the consciousness. They were not able to go beyond this. They were only staying at the level of existence. For them, everything was real. The whole world is real for them. So they will worship everything else excepting this Ishvara or the God. There is no Ishvara for them. You go to any Buddhist temple, you talk to them, they will never have any worship of the Lord at all. There is no concept of Ishvara for them. Whereas for us, Ishvara is the concept, is the main concept. We say everything is Ishvara, but Ishvara is also what manifested, unmanifested also. For them, there is no concept of unmanifested, only manifested. But what do we say? Ishvara is equal to what? Manifested, unmanifested, which is not even manifest, we don't even know. That's why we worship everything. We worship anybody also we worship. For us, everybody is Ishvara only. So our vision is much wider than everybody else. So that's why Advaitam is a different philosophy. See, Dvaitam itself is actually coming very close to Advaitam. The only thing in Dvaitam and Advaitam philosophy is Dvaitam is always two people are there. There's a worshipped and a worshipper. So you as a worshipper, Upasaka, is different from the Lord. In Advaitam, what we say is, for humble, there is no separation, there's no differentiation. Nirvikalpam is there, there's no division. Division is possible only when in space and time. Right? So space. You sitting here, the Lord is sitting there, space. You are worshipping at a certain time, you are doing everything at a certain time. Whereas for us, you know, the worship has got time. So you have to worship at time only. You cannot say, I worship every day. You can't sit there and worship all the time. So worshipping has got a certain time. And it's got space also. So there's a distinct, you cannot sit on the Lord and say that I'm going to do puja. You have to have a distance. So they always have this distance and time concept. Whereas for us, for humble, we do not have, we worship everything in a different way. We also do worship, but like what we do, like, you know, we offer puja, everything else. But cognitively, we also resolve, saying that, okay, I'm offering this as, you know, ultimate offering to the Ishvara only. And me and this Paramatma, they are not different people, I'm same. So you resolve your identity in the Ishvara itself. You resolve your actions in the Ishvara itself. For them, their bhakti is different. Their bhakti is that you as Upasaka is different from the other bhakti. That's why this difference is there. So it's all basically talks about karma yoga, attitude, see, worship, prayer, they're all connected together. This verse actually combines a lot of topics together. It tries to put together a very clear view. See, chapter 18 is a very beautiful chapter because it's going to be the concluding chapter. And he tries to put together everything, masala, whatever is taught. He starts karma yoga, he brings jnana yoga, he brings dharma, sudharma, he brings abhyasa yoga, he brings gunas, which is from, we saw this chapter. So this chapter 3, chapter 245, he talks about this trigunaya vishaya veda, nistar gunyo, Bhavarjuna. He talks about in earliest chapters. Correct. He says, Karmani adhikaraste mahaphalashu kadachana. Mahaphala karma phala hiturbu mate sangostu akarmani. So the person who sees akarma in a karma is the person. So beautiful verse. Chapter 2 is all very beautiful. It gives you the Sankhya philosophy very, very clearly. So, is it clear to you, this one, this verse, Arun, Natarajan? Any questions you've got on this? You can ask later also. It doesn't mean you should ask now. So there is chapter, I think, another verse which I want to say. Chapter 5. Let's see. I want to give some reference to you guys so that you can look up and read those topics. Okay. In 1845, we saw 1845, right? 45, verse 45. Sway Sway Karmani. See, we say this 1845 also, if you look at the verse there. Right? Sway Sway Karmanya Birataha Samsirdim Labate Naraha Swakarma nirata siddhin yata vindati tashunu. Says, just like, you know, sveswe karmani birataha sam siddhin labate naraha. Same thing I said before also. If you do your karma as per your what you are ordained to do, sam siddhin labate naraha, you will get success, sam siddhin. Swakarma nirata siddhin. By doing your swakarma nirataha siddhin, yata vindati tashyano. Understand, listen to me. So he said that, I won't explain to you about this topic. So he said a topic there and he has continued from here. He has gone from karma to now karma yoga. He has gone into karma yoga now. Because when you talk about karma, naturally you have to talk about karma yoga. So he has talked about karma yoga now in this chapter. Because we know karma yoga a little better, I'm not going to dwell upon it. So we have seen a lot in this one. So verse 49. Asakta buddhim sarvatra.
Asakta buddhim sarvatra.
Jitatma vikataspruhaha.
Jitatma vikataspruhaha.
Naishkarmya siddhim paramam.
Naishkarmya siddhim paramam.
Sanyasena adigacchati.
Sanyasena adigacchati.
Asaktam buddhim sarvatra. Jitatma vikataspruhaha. Naishkarmya siddhim paramam. Sanyasena adigacchati.
Asakta buddhim sarvatra hitatma vigataspruhaha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyasena adigacchati.
So asakta buddhi means that buddhi which is free from attachment. Sakta asakta. Sakta means attachment, asakta means unattachment. So that buddhi, that mind which is free from attachment, sarvatra, everywhere, is called, who is called? Jita Atma. Jita Atma is a person who is the conqueror of this Jitaha. Jitaha means is a person who is a conqueror, who is actually a mastery Jita Atma. We saw before in this homework for Natarajan, you find out in which verse we saw Jitatma. I'll give you two homework. You find out Jitatma and Vikata Spraha. We saw in one of the chapters. So Jitatma is a person who is actually a mastery over his senses. By what? Asakta Buddhi, by getting free from attachment. And Vigata Spraha is a person who is free from longing, desire. He has got no longing. How does he do that? Naishkaramya Siddhi. Okay. Naishkaramya Siddhi means by understanding that Naishkaramya means actionlessness. By understanding that the ultimate Atma, the consciousness, is actionless. So same concept as the Sannyasa Yoga, where he talks about Sannyasena, he says, Adigachati. So Naishkarma Siddhi, by understanding that actionless attitude, or that actionless nature of the Atma, the consciousness, because we saw also same topic, you know, we saw today also. All the things which you say here, the Atma is not the doer. The physical body is doer, and they attack upon the three gunas, and that's how they are. So, in reality, we, the Atma, the consciousness by itself, is just a sakshi or witness. It only reveals the mind. The mind is also revealed by the consciousness. The mind is also known to you, because why we negate the mind? Because the mind, you know that my mind is sattvic, my mind is rajasic, my mind is tamasic, my mind is very tired, my mind is thinking. All those things which are a part of the mind. The mind is actually a sukshma part of the body. And the mind actually is not traceable, you cannot even locate it. If somebody can tell you that the mind is located in the brain, this part, I accept it. You cannot locate. How can you know that the brain is located where? Nobody, brain you can tell. The brain has got cerebrum, cerebellum. They are part of the human body. See, he asked a question sometime back. This question about is mind is a brain or the brain is a mind? That's the question, right? So the mind is actually not part of the human body. The mind is a sukshma sharira. The brain is a stula sharira. The stulam is the brain which is there. The mind actually is sitting inside the brain somewhere, and it sorts of, you know, becomes a brain ultimately by training. So the brain and the mind, they become one together, and you cannot separate them. Correct. See, initially when a child is born, it has got a brain, it's got no mind of itself. But then the mind develops, when the child comes up, it sees the world, it sees. Then the mind actually develops. It comes with the gunas, everything. That's why inside the mother's womb, the child is very safe. It has got no mind of its own. The mother's mind is a child's mind. But the moment it comes out of its own. Now it comes out, you know, right? And then it acquires the capacities, you know, the prakriti, everything comes out. And that's why it can reflect. It is crying. It is sleeping, it wants attention, all these things are part of the mind. How does the child know inside the mother? You don't know. Can you ever feel it? That a child is crying or laughing, or you don't know anything about it. It is sitting happily, always getting food on time to the pipe. Everything very happy there. Very, very concealed world. The moment it comes out, all sort of problems come. It interacts with human beings, it sees the colors, it sees the people around you. And then the mind starts to develop, and then it knows, okay, now I should cry. I need attention. I need, the mother is not away from me. He's separate. She is not, she is there. So it tries to attract attention of the mother by crying, like doing things. Right? So these are all actually part of the mind. So the mind is that sukshma shariram, which is there all the time. Till you know the physical body is there, the brain will be there. When the brain, physical body is not there, the mind also will one day will leave. When the mind leaves, all the pranas will disappear. First to leave is the mind. When the body cannot withstand certain things, all the things will be working for some time. You know, your physical action will be all working, everything. But the mind one day decides to leave. all the pranas also will stop. That's why we say the person is brain or brain dead. We say brain dead, right? The brain dead means the person's mind has got it gone and the person is not functional anymore. So it's a question of only time when the body will disappear. You can operate on the brain, whatever you want to do, you can, if physically is possible, you can do it. But as long as the person is, you know, the prana, the mind leaves, then the pranas also will disappear slowly one after the other. And everything will go one shot. That's why we always be careful. The mind is actually the sukshma shariram. And this mind is also known through the consciousness or the sakshi. That is what illumines the mind. If it is not there, then the mind also will not get illuminated. And through the mind only, the other parts of the body gets illuminated. Through the mind only you can see, you can hear, you can talk. And through the eyes, you can see things. The object comes to light. The object is reflected back through the senses, through the mind. And then, you know, the mind processes information and then tells the brain, this is what it is. And then recollect. See, this is the beauty of the Vedanta. See, you don't need to study science. You understand the mechanics of how things work. Just by understanding that, you separate them and you analyze them. So in the Tattva Bodha, when you go to the class, you will know. If we talk about Sukshma Shariram, Karma Shariram, we'll talk about in detail. And you will know each of them, what they do and what they constitute. But to summarize your discussion, you know, you had doubt, Uma, I think, so I hope I clarified this to you now. That when you see an object, does the brain does the thinking or mind does thinking? Actually, both does thinking. Both of them, they act together. You don't know which one acts first because they are so tied together. But it's eventually the mind only tells you to look at a rose. You can also look at something else also. You can look at a hydrangea. You can look at, you know, maybe some other flower also you can look at it. But your mind tells you, now you look at a rose means your mind is focused. It tells you, you look at a rose, and then it tells the brain to focus on that. Through the brain, the senses get activated, and then everything comes. So everything is so synchronized, you don't even know about it. So that's how it's so fast it happens. Correct?
Yeah, you're.
Is it clear?
Now it's there, yeah.
Yeah, so I think my connection dropped for a second or so. I don't know why it happened.
Correct.
So here, from this topic I went somewhere else because that topic was connected with this one. Aishkarmya Siddhim Paramam. So Asakta Buddhim Sarvatra Jita Atma Vikata Spruha. So Asakta Buddhi is a person who is free from detachment, from attachment. Sarvatra means everywhere, not only in one place. He is everywhere detached. Jita Atma is a person who is actually a conqueror of the Atma or the mastery over the himself. And he has gained mastery how? By living a life of Karma Yoga. By keeping the Raga Dvashas under control. He is not eliminated. See, when somebody tells you that I have no Raga Dvashas, that person is lying. You can never have a person who says, I don't have any Raga Dvashas. You always have likes and dislikes. But you know what to control and how to control. You live within the limits of the Raga Dvashas. You analyze your likes and dislikes and then you live within that. You manage it. Like anger also, something which you cannot let go of it. Because it is part of that. You had only managed anger. You cannot say that I will drop anger. You can never drop anger. Anger is part of that built-in within you. It's waiting any time to explode. Any time. It's like a volcano sitting there. But how do you know? By conditioning the mind. By conditioning the mind. And whenever this anger comes, this topic comes about, you know, Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha Manmay Upasita. So all the Shastram comes in the picture and it says, my God, it says, Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha Manmay Upasita. So then you realize, okay, Shastram says, I should restrain anger. I will not talk about it now. I'll move away. So by moving away means you are running away. All you are postponing the problem. You are saying, well, at the moment I am angry. I don't want to deal with you now. I'll talk to you later. It's the smartest way of moving away from anger. Managing anger. Or you say, you stand in front of, some people say, let me see this person. I'll actually take him to pieces. I'll tear him apart. So you stand there and, you know, and fight. What happens in the process? You're just fueling the fire. If you put water on the fire, it eventually goes away, right? If you put more oil, it's going to get more, right? Because it's waiting for that. It wants to catch fire. It wants to grow up. That's why we have to be careful. So this Dhita Atma is a person who has got mastery over himself by knowing his likes and dislikes, by knowing his strengths and weaknesses, under control. And he allows Dharma to rule his life. He allows Dharma to rule, not his raga dveshas. He says, when Dharma says, you should do this, I'll do this. Not because I like this or I don't like this. Dharma says, I should do this, I'll do this. Whether I like it or not, I don't really care about it. Dharma says, I should do this, I'll do this. So he's governed by Dharma. That's this very, very key thing about Jita Atma. And this attitude is full of proper attitude. He has got all the Karma Yogi attitude. All the five Buddhis we saw, he's got attitudes. He's called a Jita Atma. The person who is actually a conqueror of himself. Because ultimately when you're able to master yourself by controlling the Raga Dveshas, by controlling your anger, by controlling your living life of Dharma, and having the attributes of Karma Yogi, you already mastered everything. You don't need anything else. Day-to-day life, what happens? You have this problem of likes and dislikes. You like certain things, you don't like certain things. And you get angry, you don't get angry. You have all this attitude coming up, like how do you accept everything as Prasada Buddhi, Ishwarana Buddhi, Swadharma Buddhi, correct? Swadhyaya Buddhi, all those things which are we talked about, is required to be adopted. One has to adopt in that attitude. So once you have that, naturally, everything will be one force only. Nothing will get digressed. Right. So this is called Jita Atma. Then, Vikata Spruha is a person who is free from longing. Means he has got over the longing factor. He is no longer interested in desiring certain things. He doesn't chase desires. If something comes to him, he's okay. He'll accept it. But he doesn't chase. See, there are two things. One thing is, somebody comes and gives you something, you must not say that, no, I have no desire. I'm Vigata Svaraha, I don't want to accept anything. No, not like this. He says, he doesn't chase things. If something comes to him naturally, if it doesn't harm his own, he will accept it. He's okay. But he doesn't go after saying, well, okay, if I do this, I'm going to get that. See, some of the teachers, what they do, if I take extra class, I'll get more. I'll get more money, I'll get more lectures, I'll get more popularity, although they will keep on doing it. But this person who's interested in teaching or in doing this kind of thing, his interest is only to spread awareness, nothing for himself. Because he doesn't have a desire for himself to be known, to be popular, nothing like this. His whole interest is to spread the awareness, right? So his longing for that is gone anymore. Like the money-making ideas are gone. The commercial value of teaching and making a big empire, having a big, huge follower base, worldwide, network-wide, everything is all gone. See, my Swamiji was never popular because he never got, big awards because he was never popular. Popular means he was very low profile. In fact, he used to tell us not to put anything on YouTube. He will say that, don't put on YouTube because people read half information. They will interpret what one lecture I put or two lectures I put, and they will try to make an opinion or something, then they'll comment, they will do these things, they'll put some likes, dislikes, all this will happen. So we never used to put anything on YouTube or anything, any videos or anything like this. Among the community, for example, now we've got our own website, like this is a controlled website which we've got. So we do that. So, but generally, he was not very popular because the whole attitude was not to become very famous. Only when students come to him, he should teach. People go to him to learn. And that's how, you know, we also have the same attitude. So this Vikrata Spraha is a person who is actually not longing for anything, because his longing is already gone. He's already gone out of the problem. See, as a youngster, you are restless, you want to chase things. But you grow up. Like when you are a person, you small child, you are playing the toy, doll, or you know, like a motor car, whatever you had for a boy. Then you play with ball, football, every big things. And then you, when you grow older, you have different things. So naturally, what happens is you leave this longing. You no longer have a longing. If somebody tells you, Natarajan, I'll still give you a small toy car and you play with it, you will feel very bad about it, because you are outdoing it. You are no longer interested. There are a lot of things you are interested in, different things. But all we are saying is, you naturally grow out of the desires. So likewise, in this path of the self-discovery, you will leave lots of things that are natural. Everything will be disinterested. That's all it is. So I'm not interested. So you just leave things as they are. So this Vikrata Spraha is a person who has left longings by natural living, not by forceful living. He has outgrown it naturally. So that thereby, he doesn't have the intention to go back and again acquire those things. So such a person who is called Naishkarma Siddhi. So this person who does this is called Naishkarma Siddhi. By not doing any action also he gets Siddhi, Naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam means by not accomplishment of actionlessness. Because he sees himself as akarta, he sees himself as not the action doer. The whole Karma Yoga attitude is what? That you are not a doer. You get to develop a view that I am not a doer, everything is Ishwaratma Buddhi, Sutarma Buddhi, Prasada Buddhi, where you surrender everything to the Lord, saying, I am not a doer, I am not any of these things. I accept whatever is available to me, I will live the life of Dharma, I will study, this is what it is. So this is called Naishkarma Karmyam Siddhim. So by doing that, he remains actionlessness, he becomes actionlessness. In the process, he gets what sannyasa ena adhigacchati. He becomes a sannyasi in that nature. Sannyasa ena adhigacchati means he becomes qualified for becoming a sannyasi or sannyasi yoga. He attains sannyasa. See, sannyasa means you don't have to go a third place. As I told you before also, you don't have to go outside and seek become sannyasi. You can be in your house, be sannyasi by being detached from all these other things. See, you've got a lot of activities. You can spend the same time which you're doing now, Monday, Wednesday, doing other things. You can go to club, you can go to other temples, you can go to parties, you can organize lots of events, fairs, musical events, music, a lot of things are there. But why do you choose to come? Because those things may last only for a certain time. This may not last for long. After some time, again, you have to find another program button. And the other program is not there, you feel bad about it because you have to wait for it now. It's a longing. Right? So the longing is what it says here, that you don't no longer long for the things. See, longing for this class is different because this is going to lead you to clarity and you are going to be with it. Whereas there, you have to go there to get satisfaction. Here, you don't have to go anywhere. By understanding it, you can just go inside your head. And now, inside the head, it's actually with you. When you pass away, nobody is going to take it away from you. Nobody. Other things, skills can go. For example, you may be not able to talk, you can't speak, everything is possible. Your mind will function. See, my Swamiji, when he was very old, 86 years of age, I went to attend his function. And he couldn't even walk. He had to be carried by two people, put him on, somebody should pull his leg out. And he will be very active, you know, for 10 minutes. Very active. He can chant. He can be very, very clear. Everything will be very clear. Suddenly, for half an hour, we will not talk. During his last days. And you could see people are still sitting there patiently, an hour and a half in the class, waiting for him to speak up. Then suddenly, he'll wake up from the session. He will tell me, look, my eyes can't see anymore. My ears can't hear. I can't walk. My physical body is all failing. But my mind is active. My mind is still half, but lots of thoughts. I want to say a lot of things, but my upadhi doesn't do that. So the mind is actually what is can be active. But if the other things are not active, you cannot do anything. That's the time. So what it tells you is that your mind, even though your other things may not be active at all, may not be doing a karma, sitting there, you just sitting in a form, just doing nothing, yet your mind can be resolving all sorts of questions. They all come to you, you'll be discussing topic internally, questions will come to you, you negate answers, you'll talk about that topic, this topic, everything will come to you. So sitting in one place, you can be there. This is called Naishkaramya Siddhi. He means actionless. By not doing any physical action, yet you are in action. Such a person becomes a sannyasena adhigacchati. He is actually qualified to become a sannyasi because he sees himself actionless in all actions. All the topics are what we discussed before. Nothing is new. But he has tried to summarize, and you know, because he knows that our mind is all very dull, gross, he tries to bring everything together, saying, I taught you this verse before. This is what I am saying here. Freedom from attachment. So, Vigata Spraha is also, we saw last time. Jitatma also we saw. Naishkaranya also we saw. Sanyasena Adhikachati also we saw before. So, find out in some other class what we discussed and let me know. You can post articles on that. Which verse it is and what it says. See, there is a story about this Krishna which I want to conclude before I go. So basically what it tells you is here, the person has to, how the oneness of vision is clear. If a person believes that, you know, him and the Lord, they are non-separate, so the person has got the same wavelength, then it doesn't really matter who you are, whether you are Krishna or whether you are a devotee, it doesn't really matter. So there is a time when Krishna is standing on the banks of the river and the gopis are telling him, they're complaining to him that you got many wives. See, Krishna, as we know that, people say he has got 10,000 wives or, you know, 100, whatever he has got. But according to Krishna or the Uddhava Gita, what it says here, that the people who are the gopis, they are the thoughts of Krishna. That's why the gopis are never away from Krishna at any point of time. Whenever Krishna plays the flute, the gopis dance. Wherever they are, they rejoice. It can be anywhere in Vrindavan. He might be in the corner of Vrindavan, sitting in a mountain, somewhere there. The gopis can hear the flute and they can dance. They are mesmerized in this thought because Krishna and the gopis were never away from thoughts. The gopis were his thoughts. That's why when they tell him that, you know, you got lots of wives, then Krishna actually gets, he doesn't get offended. He says, I'll give you one thing. There's a Swamiji across the river. You cross the river, and the Swamiji hasn't eaten food for last, you know, 1 month. You all go and give food to him, anadana. You feed him properly and come back. So the gopis say, okay, you must be, this is pretty easy, I'll cross the river. So they start crossing the river and suddenly the Yamuna becomes flooded. The water starts receding up. And they all cry, saying, Krishna, we cannot cross this river anymore. It's full of flood. Then they all come back, then say, what should I do, Krishna? Krishna says, you go and tell to Yamuna that Krishna is a brahmachari. And yes, he has never got married. They all laughing at Krishna. How can Krishna, why are you joking like this? How can you say like this? You are married to so many people. And how can he say that? I'm telling you, just believe me, you pray to Yamuna and tell him that I'm a brahmachari, I never got married. So they all say, okay, Krishna, you're saying I'll go. So they have this faith. They go and pray to Yamuna saying that Krishna is a brahmachari. Immediately the river actually separates and they are able to go across. then they all go there and feed the Swamiji, and Swamiji is really happy about it. He really eats very nicely. Everything is completely empty. All the utensils are free. Nothing is there. Then he says, now you go back to Krishna. Swamiji says. Now they again have to cross the river back again. Now when they cross again, the same problem comes. The river is in full speed. They cannot cross. So they get back to Swamiji and says, we are away from Krishna. We want to go there. But the river is full of water. How can it cross? He says, you pray to Lord Yamuna, the Yamuna, that the Swamiji never ate. He has never eaten anything. He says, you are mostly joking. How can it be possible that I just gave you a lot of food? You ate physically. You ate it. And you say that you are not eating anything. No, just tell the Yamuna that I'm not eating. He says, okay, I'm praying to Swamiji that he never ate anything. Immediately the river actually subsides, they again cross. Then Krishna tells him that even though you see me in the physical form, I am not the physical form. Even though the Swamiji which you fed in there is the physical form, he is not a Swamiji in the physical form. You only fed his body. You never fed his Atma or anything else. Likewise, what you see me physically here is what I am. But I am really Brahmachari. I never got married to anybody. As a physical body, I am married to people. You can think like this. But do you think that as a true soul, I am married to anybody? I am not married to anybody. I am never born. I never have a body, physical body. You people think I have a body. The Swamiji thinks he has got a body. Swamiji said, I don't have a body. He said, because I never ate. Because if he said, I ate, means he is saying that, you know, he is a doer. If Krishna said, I got married, means he got married as a doer. He said, I never got married. That's the truth I told Yamuna, I told you to tell. And then they believed it. Because Yamuna itself is the truth. So what it tries to tell you is that the person who sees actionlessness, inaction, is called a Naishkarma Siddhim. And thereby he becomes a Sannyasa Yogena Adhigacchati. He becomes a fit person for Sannyasa Yoga. So Krishna, a lot of people say it's like this, but Krishna, the view of Bhagavatam is, and Uddhava Gita is entirely different. We see he's roaming around, dancing around in gopis, everybody else, you know, Ras Lila, everybody is there. But Krishna, it's actually in the middle, and there are thoughts going around Krishna. The thoughts are never away from a person. Can you ever separate a thought from a person? You cannot. Likewise, the gopis were the thoughts of Krishna. They were never away. So this is the view of the person who is matured enough, the person who has not studied Vedanta, who has not studied these kind of topics, will always view Krishna as a different person, Gopi is a different person, Ras Lila is a different person, correct? Whereas when you study, when you come to this knowledge, you will see Krishna as a different person. You will not see, okay, Krishna is, okay, he is Jagat Guru. He has taught everybody, and the whole universe is revolving around him. Everything is him only. Correct. That's the vision of the Gita. That's what when you study Gita Shastra, by end of chapter 18, you will know that this is Krishna, what he talked about. In the beginning, Kurukshetra teaching Arjuna is a different person than what you are completely see. He's a physical person teaching you, but in reality, he's just not a person, physical body. He's consciousness by nature. By Brahman by nature. And that is what he is trying to give the vision to us, saying that know that by remaining actionless, by doing action also, I can do action. Yet by understanding the truth of Naishkarma Siddhim, Sannyasa Yogena Adhigacchati. I actually become eligible for Sannyasa Yoga and I attain Sannyasa. I attain Sannyasa means I attain the ultimate moksha liberation, which is that liberation, which is happiness, which is there. So that's the beauty of this verse. Clear? Arun, any questions? So we'll conclude here. So we'll do the, we'll try to find out what we can know. If you don't know, don't worry about it. I'll tell you also. You find out from your own idea what verse this talks about. And what is Vigadas Jaraha means. And the Chitatma also. ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम सो सी यू ऑन वेडनेसडे वी विल डिस्कस आत्मा इन विल मोर डिटेल We've got a few questions, we'll cover that and then we'll go on to the Sukshma Sadhana. Yes.
Yeah, Shankar, Purusha, when we refer to Purusha, Purusha is Divatma or Paramatma?
Purusha is neither male nor female.
Huh?
Purusha is neither male nor female.
Yeah, that is right. But normally Purusha is referred to Jivatma, right?
Purusha is actually he's a creator of Ishwara, is called Purusha.
The Ishwara is called the Purusha.
So it's actually the manifested view is called a Purusha.
Okay.
The manifested view, see Paramal Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha means that Purusha has got 1,000 heads.
Okay.
Sahasrapad. So this Purusha which you see here, either male or female, because it has got no attributes. It doesn't have anything. But what we say, Sahasra Sirsha means the 1,000 heads. So 1,000 heads a person can never have. But what it tells you is the magnanimity of this universe, of this Purusha, which is of 1,000 heads, means imagine a person at 1,000 heads, how big he will be. Sahasraksha, sahasra, 1,000 eyes and 1,000 feet.
Yeah, now I am able to relate. Say, someone asked me, so I was confused. Right, that I will come back to you after talking to Shankar.
Jiva is actually a reflection of the Purusha, thinking that the Jiva is actually separate from the Purusha. He is a person with a limited view of Alpagyan. Whereas the Purusha is called Sarvagyan, or the person is Ishwara, is Ishwaragyan.
Right.
So we think that we are limited, but in reality, the Purusha also is a manifested view of the Brahman, the consciousness. But that's the first step of understanding that we are also part of the same thing, manifestation.
Okay. Myself and Kalyan, we used to talk on these topics often. So suddenly this doubt cropped up. So I said, let me talk to Shankar and get back to you.
Is Kalyan listening to lecture? Is he?
I don't know. Now we are not posting it. So
okay.
I have given him your website and I have asked him to follow you.
Okay.
So whether he is following, I don't know. Okay. But we keep interacting.
Okay. Arun, are you enjoying the class? Are you following everything?
I'm able to follow.
You're able to?
Okay.
Yeah. I'll give you a book. I've got a book for you, Arun, from India. I'll give you your address on WhatsApp.
Okay. Yeah.
Your new address. I'll actually post the book for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure. Natarajan, I gave you a book. Remember for Bhagavad Gita, Swamiji's book?
Yeah, it's very handy and interesting.
Yeah, see.
When I do my notes, I refer your this thing, I refer that also.
Sure.
And then prepare my note.
So that's
again, listen to this thing. Listen to the recording.
Correct. See, it's very consistent. See, whatever I'm saying in that book is the same thing as what is said. There's nothing there.
Correct.
Because the topics which I learned from my teacher, they are all same.
Yeah.
So
instead of troubling you, my doubts, I get resolved from reading that book.
My notes are all actually all in Tamil and everything. I read it in Sanskrit before, but there are lots of words scribbled everywhere. Now I am from this book. I start writing all those things. So you give me your address, Arun, on WhatsApp separately.
Yeah.
I'll post the book for you. Then you can use it. We'll be starting Bhagavad Gita at some point of time. It may not be immediate, but maybe once this will take, I think, maybe another 3 months, because the way we are going, it's going to be complex and it's taking more time than what I thought initially. But I'm not in a hurry, because the message is to get the concepts clear, and I'm trying to bring other things also in the context as well. So we'll take our own time, but when we start the Bhagavad Gita at some point of time and even more people are coming, then we will. That book is handy for you. You can refer that book. It's called Devanagari in English translation, small translation, which you can follow instead of going through your iPad and scrolling through.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll see you on Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.